Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Commandments. And that's what happens. You fight the law will always win. And so today we're going to talk about the law and what does it mean to us? Why did God give it to us? Two things. Why did God give us the law? And number two, what are we supposed to do with it? I was reading a book a few years back called by A.J. Jacobs called The Year of Living Biblically. And this guy, he read through the whole encyclopedia, and then he wrote a book about it, touting himself as the world's smartest man. And then he wrote this book, The Year of Living Biblically, and he tried to keep every law in the Bible, which was just a weird year. You know, it's funny, all the weird laws in the Bible. And so sometimes you wonder, why did God give us these laws, the Ten Commandments, as we walk through the Scriptures? And so that's what we're going to do today, is we're going to look at the Ten Commandments. I have a picture of it. Someone had a phone there on Mount Sinai and took a picture of it. It's written in English. It was really good. God knew. And if you can read from that far away, then you can memorize those. The Ten Commandments. What are they? Why did God give them to us? It's interesting. A few weeks back, I visited a Jewish synagogue, and they have such a respect for the Scriptures, for the Ten Commandments. They have these big scrolls that they're in all fancy. I think I have a picture of that. There they are in a synagogue. I don't know how they got this, because on the Sabbath day when they have the meetings, you're not supposed to use any electronic devices. So I know when I went, they wouldn't let us use our phones or anything like that. So I'm not sure how they got this picture, but someone snuck one in, you know. But the thing is, during the middle of the service, right, it's a big deal. They start singing songs about the Word, and then they have this special cabinet. They open it up, and they're all beautiful, these scrolls. They're just all very ornate. And they take it out, and they walk it around the whole congregation. And as they're walking it around the congregation, singing these songs about the Scriptures, about the Ten Commandments, people just will kiss touch it with like this, touching their lips and touching it to it. Some will come right up to it and kiss it. And they're just paying homage to the Word of God. There's so much reverence for the Word of God. I didn't grow up with that same kind of relationship with the Word. I got saved when I was like 7 years old, and had a mom who was just, we had six kids, five boys. So, you know, she was like a drill master sometimes, you know, get those boys online. And so we had to read the Bibles every day. You know, you couldn't eat dinner before. You couldn't go play. You had to read your Scriptures every day. And so a lot of times I grew up with more of a resentment for the Word than a love for the Word. And sometimes nowadays we're reading through the Bible together, all together, and some days I kind of resent it. To be honest, when I find myself 2 or 3 days behind, I think, oh man, it's going to be in a couple hours of reading here. But it's good. And so today we're going to answer all the questions as to why did God give us the Scripture, and especially the commandments, and what do we do with them? You ready? Good. All right. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word that you gave to us. Today, as we open it up and as we look into it, we're asking that your Holy Spirit would just minister directly to our hearts. That, Father, today would be more than just a time of gaining information, more than even just a time of getting inspiration, but God, that our hearts might truly be transformed by your Holy Spirit speaking the word into our hearts. So we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So here we go. The Ten Commandments. We'll start in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. And this gives a little bit of the backstory to the giving of the commandments. So as we tend to understand how God gave the commandments, it gives us an understanding as to why God gave the commandments. So we're going to look back to the actual event of God giving the Ten Commandments and just pick out some principles that God reveals in how he does things. See, when we start to understand, we don't just see what God does, but when we begin to understand why he did it, and we understand not just his actions, but his ways, his intentions, his habits, then we start to get to know the heart of God. And that's always the key. We want to know the heart of God, the why behind the what. And so we're going to look at how God gave the law to begin to understand the why. All right. So Exodus chapter 19, verse 4 says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So as God's, as the children of Israel are traveling through the wilderness on the way to the promised land, they stop at this mountain, Mount Sinai. And God says, okay, we're going to have a meeting here. And it's 7 weeks after Passover, after that beautiful escape that they made the movies about, you know, coming through the Red Sea and escaping Pharaoh's chariots. And now they're coming through, they've been 7 weeks now wandering through the wilderness, and they come to Mount Sinai, which actually is further, they're actually further away from the promised land than they were when they began. The God just brought them there down to the Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai is interesting because this is the area, this is the place where Moses had his original encounter with God in the burning bush, if you remember that story. And so now God is encountering them once again. He's coming down on the mountain and he says, okay, let's meet, you and I. And I have some stuff I need to tell you. And so here he starts to talk to Moses and he breaks it down here. He says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant." So here's an interesting thing. God says, all right, I've already saved you from Egypt. I brought you out. And I brought you out in a miraculous way on eagle's wings. It was not your effort. It was me carrying you. I don't know if you ever watched Lord of the Rings. You remember that final battle in the Lord of the... Was it Lord of the Rings or was it... No, I think it was the Five Armies, the Battle of the Five Armies from The Hobbit. Was it Return of the King, where they're coming on the eagles? So anyway, they're in this battle, and it looked like the orcs are going to overwhelm them, right? And then all of a sudden, help comes, and an army comes flying in on eagle's wings, and it's awesome. And I always wish as a kid that you would someday, you know, you always dream, man, I wish I could fly on a bird. Wouldn't that be cool? And God says, here I did it. I brought you in on eagle's wings. Miraculously, I have been carrying you. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I feel God's presence. You know, they do that song, "You're the Wind Beneath My Wings." And it's like God comes alongside and he lifts us in the midst of our deepest, darkest moments, in the midst of our struggles. And those are the moments God says, "This is what I've done to you, Israel. I've lifted you. I've delivered you. I've saved you. I've lifted you." And then he goes on and he says, "And I brought you to myself." Because see, that's the point of it all, is that we come to him. Over and above the promised land, it really starts with us coming to him. And then from there, he says, "And now that I've brought you to myself." And I love that, what Ugo shared about tithes and offerings and this walk with God. It's about the relationship. It's not about the rules. It's about the relationship. God says, "I brought you to myself. And now if you will, one, obey my voice." Not just the rules that are written there. But if you'll relation, if you'll walk with me, if we'll talk, if we'll go back to that, people say that preachers, they really only, each one only has one message and they just preach it, you know, 1,000 different ways. And that's kind of like me. I always go back to the Garden of Eden and I find myself there when I'm preaching. And here we are with Adam and Eve walking every day with God. And God gave them a choice. You want to know the rules, the right and wrong, or do you want to walk with me? I'm always bummed out and mad at Adam that he chose the rules. Ever since then, we've been living under this heavy religious oppression of rules instead of the walk with God and the relationship. And here God is inviting them back into it. He says, "I brought you to myself. If you walk with me and listen to my voice, and out of that relationship, keep covenant." Now we think, well, covenant rules, but covenant is also marriage. We make a promise. We say, "I do." And from then on, you know, I honestly, I don't go back every day and look over my covenant, my vows, and think, okay, what do I got to do again with my wife? What did I promise? Oh, man, yeah, I got to work better at that, you know. No, I just love her. That was just a launching point. And out of the love that's flown from that wedding day, I keep all those things, but not because I'm consciously trying to. It's just because I love her so much that I'm pursuing her. That's the covenant. It's a covenant of pursuit. God says, "I'll never leave you. I'm going to always pursue you. You're always going to be welcome here." In fact, his new covenant, he says, "I'm going to give you a heart to know me."
And so that's the framework before God comes and gives them the commandments. He says, this is the purpose. It's not to save you. You don't get saved by keeping the law. I've already done that. Paul says the same thing in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. He says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ. That means trust. That means our trust relationship with Christ, and not by works of the law. But because by works of the law, no one will be justified. No one gets saved by the giving of the law. God said, I already saved you out of Egypt. I brought you on eagle's wings. And now I'm giving you the law. And if you'll obey my voice, if you'll listen and do this, then he says, here's what it's for. He says, you'll be my treasured possession. You'll step into that thing that I created you for. You'll find, you'll discover what you were made to be. You'll begin to run in the way that you're created. See, there's a beauty of walking and living in our created purpose. All of a sudden, things just start to work. You start to live in the way that you were made. Everything begins to align in our lives. And so many of us, we live under fear, under stress. We live under this dissatisfaction and frustration because we're not aligned with our created purpose. And so there's parts of us that just don't fit. We were over at a friend's house yesterday, and they had bought a new house. And so Pastor Shino and I were checking out the house and helping them carry furniture because they're moving in. So, of course, you know, we help move stuff. And so we're moving stuff. And then they showed us their new king-size bed that they bought, this big frame. And they said, yeah, well, we got four of the six screws that hold it together to fit. The other two just couldn't fit. You know, and there's times when stuff just doesn't work the way it's supposed to. It doesn't fit, and then the thing never comes together. It's never quite sturdy. But when a thing fits together the way it was supposed to, when our lives begin to fit together, and the things that we're doing align with the things we love to do and align with the things we're great at, life begins to come together. And this is what God says, if you will keep my commandments, this is what they're for. They get you to align with what you were created for. So why did God give us the commandments? It wasn't to make us righteous. We were already saved. Children of Israel were not saved by the laws. They weren't carried by the laws. But what the laws did is they start to show us who God is. They start to show the heart of God. That's what the Ten Commandments do. They reveal God's heart, his nature, who he is. The second thing they do is they set us free. They bring us into the freedom of walking in created purpose. They show you, this is how you're supposed to live. And there's two kinds of freedoms, right, in life. There's the freedom of just doing whatever we want. That's one kind of freedom. And there's the other freedom of wanting to do the thing we should be doing. And true joy, true freedom comes when everything aligns. And the thing we want to do is the thing that we should do, is the thing that we're created to do. Is the thing that is the greatest blessing to those that we live with. This other freedom leads to destruction. Just doing whatever is in my heart, and we look at our hearts, and our hearts are just full of junk. I want to use a different word, but we'll see. It's a nice word. So Pastor Ronald will be happy that I preached. And we look at our lives. I don't know about you, but that's so much more the story of my life. Grinding and frustrated and fearful and wondering if things are going to work out. Why? Because I keep trying to do the thing that's in my heart to do, and my heart is just deceitful. My heart has no clue what I should be doing. My heart's full of sin and desires that go contrary to God's desires. And so the law comes to help me align again and find that freedom, find that joy that I was created for. I love, there's a writer, John Ortberg, and he says this, when we violate the laws, it's not so much that we break the laws as much as our sins break us. And so when God lays down these laws, it's not like the law of, now don't play in the living room because we want to keep that clean. Just mom saying don't, or curfew is at 5 o'clock, make sure you come in. That's not what these laws are like. These laws are kind of like, don't step off the edge of the 5-story building. because you will encounter the law of gravity. And so you say, oh, you're so restrictive. Man, you know. And this is what we do to God, right? I mean, you look at the Ten Commandments, right? Don't murder. You start to murder some people, you're going to find out that it's not good for them or your relationship with them. It's just kind of not great in the family. You murder your brother, it's not so good. You know, don't steal, don't lie. These are things that all are meant for our good. And that all have a harsh consequence. And some we blow off, you know, what do you mean no idols? You know, I don't believe in idols anyway, so that, but keep the Sabbath. And then we find out, why am I always so tired? Why am I always so frustrated and at the end of my wits? God says, I told you, put me first. And then we put every other thing first. You know, I got to make more money because that's what's really going to save me. Or I got to get the right boyfriend or girlfriend. Or I got to live in the right house or get the right job. And we look for all these other things to be God in our lives. And then we wonder why we are left empty-handed, frustrated, empty. And God says, I told you, don't touch the hot stove. I love what Mark Twain said. You know, you can try to tell someone, don't touch the hot stove. But let them touch the hot stove one time. And they'll never do it again. This is what the law is for. This is why God gave us the law. Galatians chapter 3, verse 21, Paul says this. He says, is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. Law can never give us life. Verse 24 says, so then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But under now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So a guardian was someone who's put in charge of a little kid when a kid's not yet ready to live on their own. And so they give them a guardian. And the Bible, Paul is saying, what the law was like, it's like a guardian to bring us to Christ. It's like a guardian to until we get to understand who Christ is and can and have enough maturity to live in an ongoing relationship and walk with our parents. Then we have this guardian who helps us, who guards us, who keeps us from hurting ourselves, who keeps us and tells us, no, you know, yes, do this. No, don't do that. Until we come to the place where we start to understand and come to a place of maturity where we can walk with the adults. And so the Bible says the guardian helps us as our relationship with God grows. As we learn to hear his voice and obey him and desire the same things that he desired. None of us start that way because we're born with a sin-sick heart. And so that's why you don't have to teach kids to say no. You don't have to teach kids to want to put their finger in the electric socket. You don't have to teach kids to hit their brothers, to want to keep their brothers from playing with their toys. We're all born selfish. We're all born rebellious. We're all born with this inside of our heart. And so God gives us a schoolmaster until our hearts are ready to respond to God, until our hearts are at a place where we're mature enough to say, you know what God wants is really what's right. Until that time, God gives us the law as a schoolmaster, a guardian, to keep us from hurting ourselves, to help us stay in line with what the guardian knows the parents will want in the long run. And so that's what the law is in our lives. But it's not to replace the relationship with the parent. The goal is to bring us to that relationship. And that's what the law is. It's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Exodus chapter 20. Here's what happened. Exodus 19 is God setting them up and saying, okay, we're going to have a meeting on Sinai. Exodus 20 is the meeting goes down, and this is what happens. Verse 18. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood afar off, and they said to Moses, you speak to us, and we will listen, but don't let God speak to us, lest we die. It's like, whoa, you know, when Moses first says, okay, God's going to come, he's going to talk to us, he's going to give us his covenants, and they're all like, yeah, whatever God says, we'll do, you know, we're with you, Moses. And then they come to the mountain and they see God. Well, they just see the effects of God, the dark clouds and the lightning, and they hear the thunder. And they say, we're changing our minds. You know, sometimes when we get around God and we begin to see that, you know, this might threaten some of my perceived freedoms. I might not be able to do what I want to do anymore because God, he's kind of dominant. And I don't know if I want that much dominance in my life. I want to rule my own life. When he says, you know, you're going to have to lay down your life, we start to think, oh, maybe not. They feared for their lives. Maybe I'm going to die. Jesus said, yeah, it's not just a maybe. You're going to have to lay down your life. And we're like, okay, tell you what. Pastors, you go like be real close to God and like do all that real stuff. And then you get the secret things, you know, all the life secrets, the life hacks from God. And then just give us the life hacks and we'll pick which ones fit us. And so we treat God as like our source of life hacks, right? Wow. That's not God. By definition, God is not your cosmic ATM that you press the right buttons and get some cash from whenever you need it. And so the children of Israel suddenly realized what they bought into. And from there, when God said, you're going to be a kingdom of priests, you're going to be the people who walk with me and then demonstrate me, bring me to the world and bring the world to me. You're going to be those places that priesthood, that royal priesthood. You're going to be the ones who are between God and the people and bring the people to God and bring God to the people. What an awesome, privileged place. You're going to be a reflection of who I am to the world around you and the blessings that are wrapped up in an all-loving, all-powerful, all-good God. You're going to be able to be the one who brings that to the world. And they said, the cost is too high, a little scary, not sure if, you know, that's going to work out well for me. And they thought that their experiences in Egypt under slavery and walking in the wilderness was made them smarter than the God who created the universe, created them, preserved them in the wilderness. And yet you and I think, gosh, what a bad choice. But I think how many days of the week, like 7 days a week, I make the same bad choice. And God is calling this in. Israel opted out. Adam opted out. Israel opted out. Jesus didn't. And from him, we're going to learn how do we obey the law. So we understand why the law was given. But what are we supposed to do with the law? How do we obey it? Now, one quick verse before we jump on. Psalm 103, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. See, God always wanted the children of Israel to know his ways, his paths, to understand why God did what he did, to know the heart of God. But Moses was the only one who wanted to walk with God. And so Moses was the only one who began to understand God's ways. But you and I, God calls us back into that relationship. The Bible says he gives us his spirit. And I love that last song we sang. You know, God placed in our hearts a desire to meet you in that middle, to be in that place where we walk with you. That middle is really describes the place of being the priesthood, the temple of God, that place where God and man meet. And that's the place of beauty. That's the place of walking in created purpose. There's such a beauty of walking in created purpose. When we realize that the kind of love that Jesus showed to the world, forgiving the prostitutes, healing the lame, touching the lepers, that kind of love that Jesus shared, that's the way we're to walk. That's what God intends for all of his children, to walk in that place of being a reflection of the beauty of God. But only Moses chose it. The rest of the children said, ooh, that's too dangerous. All right, let's finish this here. You ready? Yes. Did we make sense on the first one? Understand why, how we got the or was it why? Why did God give the Ten Commandments? Okay. And are we supposed to obey the Ten Commandments? There we go. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus says this, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So Jesus is saying, those laws, they're not done away with, but they're fulfilled. So what does fulfilled means? It means that he's taken them, and then he's brought them. It's not that we are free not to violate. I can't go out there and go murder or get a bunch of idols or start lying to people because now Jesus fulfilled the law. No, but what he says, I've taken that now to a whole new level. And then he explains it further down here. in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. He says, you've heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders is going to be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire.
So he says, yeah, murder is still wrong. That commandment, you violate it, it's still going to go bad for you, like the law of gravity. But I've taken it to another level now. If you're a person who's always angry, so you got to stop that. If you're a person who always is insulting others, calling them names, so that's also forbidden, because that's going to bring destruction on your life. And this scripture especially speaks to me right now in the midst of the culture we live in. Because everybody's pointing fingers. You cannot go on social media without somebody calling out somebody and making fun of somebody and accusing someone else and saying, you're wrong. The Republicans are all bad and the Democrats are all bad and everything's all, you know, it's the liberals, it's the conservatives. And everybody's got to blame someone else. And it's the rhetoric is getting more and more heated. And I think of us as Christians, we stand on the side and yes, we condemn every mass murder, every single murder, any murder, we say that's wrong. But some of us, we will just jump right in on the name calling. We'll just jump right in on the anger. I feel that anger rising. I say, how can that guy say that? He's so stupid. Why are they voting for that? How can they keep letting that happen? And his anger, and say, he's such a fool. Why do we have such fools for government leaders? And all of a sudden, I'm right here in Jesus' conversation. And he's saying, you're just as bad as other guys because you think they got there overnight? And if we're going to be a reflection of who God is and walk in our created purpose, people who reflect the heart of God, who are that kingdom of priests, a place where people can come and find God, then we cannot allow ourselves to be caught up and let the sin begin to overtake our house. Yes, maybe we can stop ourselves before murder, but guess what? If we get into name calling and being angry at someone else, that sin's gonna, if we don't get ourselves over the line, and it's, we'll help others push others over the line. And there's no one out there who's reflecting the heart of God that says, love your enemies. Because I can tell you the world won't do it. My sin nature never pushes me to love my enemies. And this world will never come back together unless you and I are willing to say, okay, I get it. The Ten Commandments give me the heart of God. I need to align that so then I can be a witness. See, keeping the law is not what makes us righteous, but keeping the law is what gives us a platform to help others come to righteousness. That's the purpose of the law. Is to help us be a people who reflect the heart of God, because it's not about you and it's not about me. And Christianity can never be this selfish thing about just, you know, do I have enough money in my bank account? Will God help me with that? Will he help me get my act together and get me a better career, that next job or that next spouse or whatever it is that we're looking for? Christianity is never meant to be self-centered, because community and this life will never work if we all live self-centered lives. If God came to earth to help us all just live our own self-centered lives, it would not work. And so God never does that. He said, it's not about you. It's about laying down your life. It's about being willing to bring goodness to others. That's what the law is for. That's why God gave it. So that you and I can not only be a reflection of God, but can bring what the Bible calls this grace, this favor of God. You can come and step into situations and change the atmosphere by a few words that we speak. Jesus would do this all the time. People were ready to stone this woman caught in the act of adultery. And adultery is horrible. We think about adultery. Oh, I get to, you know, multiple, sleep with a lot of women and sleep with a lot of men. Why is it, you know, and that's going to be so good. God is just restricting my freedoms, who I can sleep with. When you talk to the kids of parents who've committed adultery, you talk to the spouse of a man or woman whose spouse has committed adultery, it's not a pretty picture.
It doesn't breed love. It doesn't help relationships. And so in the midst of this, these destroyed lives, and the priests all standing around said, she broke the law, and so we're going to stone her. Jesus steps in and completely changes the atmosphere. See, you and I, that's our role. It's not to join in with everybody yelling at each other and fighting with each other. Our role is to step in and to change the atmosphere. That's why Jesus, that story of when they found that blind man, and his disciples says, well, why is he blind? Who broke the law? Was it him or was it his parents? And Jesus said, neither. But that I could be lifted up and people might see God. So Jesus then, he stepped in not to assign blame, but to bring healing. And you and I, that's our role. Are we those who jump into the situations, who add our voices to the assigning of blame? Is that our role in life? No. Our role is to come in and say, how can I bring healing to this situation? Who's broken here? How can I be a part of touching them? Jesus said, I'm going to the sick. I'm not going to the religious. I'm not going to those who try to determine who's wrong. I'm going to those who've been hurt, broken by sin, and bringing healing. And to the church, God said, if my people, called by my name, will pray, whenever destruction comes, I'll hear, I'll come, I'll heal. So yes, we keep the Ten Commandments, but Jesus said, I'm giving you a new commandment. In fact, when they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. He said, all the law and the prophets. Go back to that. You do that, you've fulfilled all the rest of it. And then he said, you know what? I'm up in the level. Not only to love God and love others like you love yourself, but now John chapter 13, verse 34, he says, a new commandment, that you love others the way that I've loved you. Because some of us, we don't love ourselves very much. So loving others like we love ourselves, it's not helpful. We'll say things to ourselves that we would never allow someone else to say to us. We treat ourselves poorly. But Jesus, he said, love others the way that I've loved you. He said, this is the new covenant. The way I loved you is I laid down my life for you so that you could be restored in relationship to the Father. I've shown you the Father. Because until we see it, we can't experience it. And that's where you and I are here for. So that people can see it and experience it. They'll say, we're gonna take communion. I think it's just an appropriate way to end the service, because Jesus said, you do this in remembrance of me. And as we remember him, then we can begin to live like him. Bible says this is the new covenant, that we would know God and that God would give us new hearts, not just trying to keep rules, but be transformed by relationship. And then we take that relationship and we go and we embrace others. We don't preach at them. Preaching doesn't change lives. Walking with people and walking with God. I'm going to invite you.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.